Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're back with John Fraser live in the United Kingdom. Poltergeist, a new investigation into destructive haunting, his book, which has just come out. John, can you give us a poltergeist story, one that has just fascinated you over the years?
There's many poltergeist stories that have fascinated me. Probably the one I'm best able to discuss about is one I've looked into in quite a lot of depth, which is a place called The Cage, which is prison in St. Osyth's, Essex. Now, this is a strange case indeed. It's actually... The house is a lot more innocent than it sounds, in that it's a small, semi-detached house, probably about 250 years old, possibly on the, definitely incorporating a local lockup, which used to be where they'd keep the village drunks before, you know, they could send them to the magistrates, and possibly incorporating an older lockup. At least there is a plaque on the wall of unknown origins saying it dates back to the late 16th century, and possibly a witch, Ursula Kemp, was kept there before being tried and hung for witchcraft. Uh-huh. Now, Ursula Kemp definitely exists. The rest are probably possibles. But a lady called Vanessa Mitchell moved into there, and along with some friends initially, and a lot of strange things started to happen. Doors used to slam shut without any reason. At one point, a pool of blood was found in the floor, and a Coke can flew across the room. Various of the residents got pushed. Various of the friends were witnesses as well. Once her friends moved out, she decided she could no longer stay there, left the house, and opened it up for paranormal investigation. And at one point gave me and a colleague of mine, Rosie O'Carroll from the Ghost Club, basically carte blanche to... not primarily to investigate the place in the conventional sense, mm-hmm. A lot of people have done that, but to interview all the witnesses, both from the original events and the subsequent paranormal investigation teams that had been there. And what we found is a lot of people had seen and experienced a lot of similar things in the same place. There was a particular door that would bang, you know, not just creak, but bang with considerable strength. There was various people that had been pushed down the stairs. There was at least 5 cases of poltergeist scratchings or markings when, you know, a scratch would suddenly appear in your arms or legs. And it was actually this combination of witness testimony that I actually found a lot more interesting, because it's one thing, for example, the Amityville Horror.
Right.
You're totally down to the family and what they saw or what they didn't see. But in a case like The Cage, you've got literally dozens of witnesses all having similar experiences.
And all pretty credible, I assume, right?
And all pretty credible. It included a TV producer who was there in his personal capacity, not to produce a TV program, just because he was interested. He actually claimed, I think, to feel total depression whilst in the place. There's people that have broken down there, literally, and asked to be taken home from 60 miles away and had to be picked up in the middle of a sort of investigation. There's a Scandinavian paranormal investigator who went there and basically broke down in tears. Now, we have to obviously correlate. There is a certain psychological factor of staying in a, inverted commas, haunted house. But this seems to go over and above that, that there seemed to be some kind of atmosphere there that triggers some kind of very unusual experiences.
And would you say that poltergeist cases are where you do not see the poltergeist or the ghost, the apparition, or do you?
Not at all. There seems to be lots of little boxes of paranormal phenomena. You were talking to your UFO expert earlier on, mm-hmm. and so on, and psychics, witchcraft, occultism, ghosts, poltergeists. I tend to think it's one big box. As an example, colleagues of mine in the Society for Psychical Research had a book out called Poltergeist. They're always called poltergeist if it's about poltergeist, unfortunately.
Right.
Their book actually was encyclopedic. They took 500 cases from history and found that in at least 30% of the cases, there was also visual phenomena, you know, more like hauntings. And in primarily a separate 30%, there was also audio phenomena like ghostly voices. So you've got one heck of an overlap. I'd go as far as to say, whatever it is, ghosts and hauntings are probably one and the same thing, different symptoms of the same power.
John, what triggers a poltergeist case? What starts it?
Now, that is the $68,000 question. Nobody can be sure. If anyone says it's demons or it's a dead person with any degree of great certainty, they have their own hypothesis. I tend to think it's probably something within us. Nearly all poltergeist cases have a stress factor that seems to trigger it off. Now, it could be a death in the family, which obviously feeds into the afterlife theory quite well. It could be adolescence, which, if you remember, was quite a stressful time. It's a few years since I've had that, but yes, I remember that well. It could even be a house move, which is, I think, down as its top 5 stress factors in most surveys. So you get the wonderful things of somebody moving into a house and suddenly finding it's haunted, but it could even be the fact that they moved into there in the first place and had their life disrupted that started it out. Let's go back to Amityville again. You had a guy that was overextended in his mortgage and moved into the house of a mass killer.
Yeah.
If that's not going to cause stress, I don't know what is. So I think that's a tricky thing. I tend to think, and only think, that there's that it's quite possibly powers within us that actually cause the phenomena to happen. Best example of that being the Philip experiment, which was an experiment done in Canada in the late 1970s, when a group of paranormal investigators decided to create a ghost stroke poltergeist. They invented this fictitious character, never existed, called Philip the Cavalier. They gave him a wife, a mistress, and all kinds of things, and invented a history by which his wife committed suicide and drew pictures of him and started to live his life, in effect. And then you started to get poltergeist events happening caused by Philip, who, of course, never existed, so couldn't be from the afterlife. And there's actually good footage in Canadian TV of these events happening. So I tend to go for the powers within us. However, just like your report on COVID, I dislike the fact that the paranormal community sometimes gets into political sort of trances. We should be working together. I could be wrong. The afterlife people could be right. In the same way as hydroxychloroquine might work, might not, but everyone seems to be in entranced views. Scientists do it. Paranormal investigators do it. I wish we wouldn't.
Is the paranormal field tense between rivals, John?
To some extent, it's not as bad. It's probably not as bad as it has been in the past. But yes, I mean, all fields are intense with rivals. Science is very intense with rivals. And yes, there is a certain amount of for your listeners that have seen Monty Python and Monty Python, The Life of Brian, there is a certain amount of the Judeans, People's Front, and the People's Front of Judea, you know, people, different groups that should be working for the same things, but are actually criticizing each other and so on.
Hollywood, of course, has done an amazing job depicting vampires. How close is that to reality?
Well, when Bram Stoker wrote Dracula, he'd never been to Transylvania. He chose a totally fictitious depiction of vampires, and he even chose a place called the Borgo Pass, which he has as mountainous, which is actually very, very pretty and hilly. I've been there. It started on a work of fiction, and it's extended from a work of fiction. The Romanian Strigoi, which is a Romanian vampire, is far less romantic looking when depicted. It looks a bit like a sort of wild animal. So it's not based on any real-life vampire folklore at all.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.